Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read one verse today as we come down toward the conclusion of this letter. We're going to turn to verse 19 today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Apostle Paul has been thanking the Philippian Christians for their generous gifts throughout the past and in particular now. He thanks them for the way that they have been ongoing in supporting him and helping him and giving to him. And he thanks them particularly for this gift that has been brought by Epaphroditus. They have supported him when he's been in prison in Rome. And their gift has demonstrated their fellowship and partnership with the Apostle Paul in his ministry and also in his trials. They've been with him when he has spread the gospel, and they are still with him while he is in prison. He has talked to them about how this gift that they have given has shown their commitment to him and to the missionary endeavors that he has been involved in. And now, the Apostle Paul wants to remind them, and through them, you and me as well, that God himself is the greatest gift giver ever. That he it is who supplies your every need. And that he does this through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins by speaking about God. And notice how he talks of him. He says, and my God, my God. Paul speaks of God as his God. God is extremely personal to Paul. This is not some abstract idea that Paul has read about in a book somewhere. This is not some God someplace else who might possibly exist. This is not any false God such as Allah. This is not any false idol such as Baal. This is not the modern God as you imagine him to be, or the God of your own choosing that modern men seem to like and want to follow. This is the one true and living God, the one who has saved the Apostle Paul, the one who called him to be the minister and apostle to the Gentiles. This is the true God. God is real to Paul and really known by Paul. Is he that real to you? Is God a reality in your life? Is God real to you? Is he simply someone you read about in this book? Or is he a living reality in your life? Is God real to you? God was real to Paul. God had revealed himself in Christ when he called Paul on the Damascus Road. You remember, Paul is struck to the ground. There's a bright light shining all around, and he hears a voice calling his name, saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul cries out and says, who are you, Lord? And God reveals himself by saying, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then he calls him to get up and he sends him on into Damascus and he commissions him as his apostle, his sent out one. God often spoke to the apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit who indwelt him. And so God was with Paul at all times, at good times and at bad times. God was with Paul when Paul had great success in preaching the gospel. God was with Paul when Paul was dragged out of town and stoned and left for dead. God was with Paul when he was shipwrecked. God was with Paul when he was in prison in Rome. God was with Paul at all times. Paul had a living relationship with God through Christ. And so he says that this God is the true God and my God, the only true and living God. Because you see, anything else that you speak of as being a God isn't really a God at all. Psalm 96:5 says, "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." There's only one God, one true and living God. The Lord alone, the triune God, is the only one who exists, the only one who is real. This is the God who called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldeans and led him to the land of promise. This is the God of Joseph, who sent him down to Egypt ahead of his family to keep many people alive. And so even though Joseph was imprisoned for a while and was then released, Joseph was able to tell his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many people alive today." And so God protected Israel in Egypt for 400 years. And this is the God of Moses, who called Moses from the burning bush, who sent him to Pharaoh in Egypt to say, "Let my people go." Who was with Moses as those 10 plagues were cast upon Egypt, and who delivered his people Israel by great signs and wonders. This is the God who was the God of Joshua, who brought the people of Israel into the land of Canaan and enabled them to conquer it. This is the God who provided judges and kings for his people to lead them in all of his ways. This is the God who sent prophet after prophet to his people Israel so that they might learn that they have sinned against God. This is the God who delivered his sinful people into the hand of their enemies so that they might be taught not to trust in false gods. This is the God who brought them back out of captivity, returned them to dwell once again in the land of Canaan. This is the God who promised in the Old Testament to send his anointed one, the Messiah, as the Savior. This is the God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to be the only Savior of sinners. This is the God who accepted the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his life and in his death upon the cross as the substitute for your sin and my sin. This is the one and only true God who promises to provide for your every need. And so as you look at the ways that this true God provided for his people in the past, as you look at your own life and see the ways that God has provided for you in your own personal history, you know that you can trust him now, today, and you can trust him in the future. And my God will supply every need, he says. Every need. This is the God who called Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, on the top of the mountain. And as Abraham was ready to do so, God, through his angel, stopped Abraham and provided in the place of Isaac a ram that had been caught by its horns in the thicket as the substitutionary sacrifice in the place of Isaac. This is the God who supplied manna in the wilderness for Israel throughout 40 years of their wilderness wanderings. This is the God who was there with them in the pillar of cloud by day that covered them to keep them from the heat of the desert. This is the God who provided the pillar of fire by night so that they would not freeze in that temperature in the desert. And this is the God who led them by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire for 40 years to bring them to the promised land. This is the God who supplied prophet after prophet after prophet to teach his people his holy word. This is the God who provided the priesthood in the Old Testament to offer atonement for the sins of the people as all of their sacrifices pointed forward to Jesus, the only true sacrifice to come. This is the God who provided kings to lead his people according to his word. This is the God who supplied Jesus as the fulfillment of the office of prophet, priest, and king, to provide knowledge of God, to provide righteousness for us, to provide protection and guidance along the way. So whatever your need is, God will and can supply that need in his Son, Jesus Christ. Your every need and my God will supply every need of yours, Paul says. Notice, Paul does not say, God will supply your every want. That's the way some people would like to read this verse. That's not what this verse says. There are many false prophets in our day who make that claim that God will give you whatever you wish for. Well, of course, they put it in biblical language, in the language of prayer, and they tell you God will give you whatever you pray for. But their ideas are not really ideas regarding biblical prayer, but vain imaginings. They promise you such things as mink coats and diamond rings and Cadillacs, as Reverend Ike used to say. They reduce the promise of God to the merely physical and monetary. And when they do that, what they do is they corrupt what God is actually saying, what God actually promises you. You see, God promises not to meet your wants, but God promises to meet your actual every need. Are you in need of forgiveness of sins? God meets that need through Christ. God promises that if you confess your sins to Him, He will forgive your sins. 1 John chapter 1, we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Are you in need of fellowship with God? In the Old Testament, God gave this incredible promise to His people through Isaiah chapter 46. He said, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save." Think about that for a minute. God is saying to His people, He's saying to you and to me, I have borne you from before you were born. From before you were conceived in the womb, I have carried you. From when you were born, when you had no hair, all the way through life when your hair turned gray, and then when it fell out and you die and have no hair. I've been with you all through that time. I've carried you all along the way, and I will save you. God promises fellowship with Him and with the church through Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Are you in need of defense from enemies? King David learned to trust the Lord as his fortress, as his protection. He said in 2 Samuel 22, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." Look at all of those images that David piles up. He speaks of God as a strong fortress, as a place of refuge, as a shield, as a tower, as his stronghold, and especially as his Savior. Are you in need of protection in the here and now as well as the hereafter? God Himself meets that need. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, God gives us this incredible promise. It's a promise that I recommend that you memorize the first half of that verse. And it goes this way. "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God is your eternal dwelling place. We often speak about heaven being our eternal dwelling place, but it is God Himself who is our eternal dwelling place. What makes heaven heaven is that God is there. And God is our eternal dwelling place. And He holds us in such a secure way that when we start to fall, underneath are the everlasting arms. We cannot fall eternally into perishing because of the promise of God who will catch us and hold us. underneath of the everlasting arms. You need protection and provision in the midst of testing and trials and temptation. God provides that. God tested Israel and provided for them in the midst of that testing. In Deuteronomy 8, he says, Moses is speaking to Israel and he says this, "And he, God, humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Do you need to be lifted up when you've fallen down? God will take you by the hand. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And most of all, are you in need of salvation? God provides that in His Son, Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God provides all of these things according to His riches and glory. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory." Notice that God does not say, Paul does not say that God will supply your every need out of His glorious riches, like a rich man who has so much that he can give a trifling sum away and still have millions and millions and millions left over. No, Paul is saying that God will supply your every need according to His glorious riches. In other words, the gifts of God that He gives to us are in proportion to His infinite resources. His riches are glorious riches. God does not give away trifling sums and small gifts to His children. God gives great things to His people in Christ. His giving to you abounds more and more. And so we read in Luke chapter 6, this exhortation: "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I had the occasion this past week to fill up a jar with some brown sugar. My brown sugar jar was empty. So I went to the store and I bought one of those bags of brown sugar. It's the right size bag to fit in this jar. And I started pouring it into the jar, and lo and behold, the jar starts to fill up, and I've still got more brown sugar in the bag. So I engaged in what the Bible says. I took a spoon, the Bible doesn't say spoon, but I pressed down on the brown sugar and pressed it down in the jar and poured more in, pressed it down, poured more in, and sure enough, got right to the top, got all that brown sugar in that jar. But this illustration goes further. This illustration says you've still got more brown sugar left and you keep pouring it into the jar and it overflows all over the place because there's more brown sugar than the jar can hold. The gifts of God are more than any person can hold. When God gives you salvation, it not only fills up every crack and cranny in your soul, but it overflows from you to others so that you are a blessing to others in Christ. When God gives, the way in which He gives, He gives more than you can hold. And so it flows out of every pore. It comes out of every want. "Out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water," Jesus said. And so He gives and gives and gives to you until you can't hold it. And it still, He keeps giving and it overflows from you and you are a blessing to others in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the final thing that He says. It's in Christ. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You see, you will never face any temptation or trial or test. You will never discover any need that God will not provide for you. I know of two young couples who went to seminary years ago. And both of these couples, the wife was working, the two wives brought in almost identical paychecks, and both of the husbands were working in order to pay off their seminary expenses. And so they got just about the same thing. They lived in next door to each other. They paid the same rent. And when the paycheck would come in each month, the first couple believed that God wanted them to tithe from the first fruits. And so they would sit down and write a check immediately to their church for what God had blessed them with. The second couple would get the paycheck and go out to dinner. And they would eat and they would spend, and then they would come to the end of the month and they would sit down to write a tithe check, and they would say, you know, we really can't tithe this month because God didn't give us enough money. But one thing happened to that second couple is they had more month left at the end of the paycheck, often a week. And God blessed the first couple to provide meals for the second couple almost every single time that last week of the month. They had more left over. God does this. He's an amazing God. He provides for His people so that we can provide for others as well. Oh, there was a lesson in there that the second couple was reminded, you know, if you would put God first rather than trying to give God your leftovers, you'd find that you would have not quite as much month left at the end of that paycheck. You can't afford not to give to God. But notice that all of these things that we say about Christ are true only in Christ. All of the provisions that God gives for you, all of the promise that God gives to you, all of these things are in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is true only for those who are believers in the Son of God as your own Savior. These blessings are yours, yes, but only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot expect these promises to be fulfilled in your life if you are not trusting in Christ as your Savior. The promises of God are yes. The promises of God are amen, but they are only yes and amen in Jesus. And so if you have only heard of the Lord Jesus Christ but have never put your faith in Him for salvation, all of these promises are true. But they will only be true for others. They will not be true for you unless and until you turn from your sin and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you must do so right away because, quite frankly, you do not know how long you will live or whether your soul will be demanded of you even this day. Remember that parable that Jesus told of the foolish rich man whose fields produced more than he knew what to do with. And he said, my silo can't hold it anymore. I've got it. I'll tear down that silo and build a bigger silo. And I'll have lots to be comfortable for the rest of my life. And God said, you fool. Tonight your soul is demanded of you. Who's going to get your stuff? Flee to Christ now. Find in Christ now the perfect provision for your every need in this life and in the one to come. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Savior. How we thank you for the provision that you make for us in every single area of life through Christ. How we thank you, Father, that you meet our every need. Father, may we respond as we ought to all of these things. May we trust in Christ and serve Christ and follow Christ and live for Christ day after day after day. We ask that you would do this, that you would cause us each to flee to Christ and find that perfect forgiveness, that perfect salvation, that perfect redemption. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.